I'm Monica Goyette, and I'm the superintendent for the Matsubara School District.
All right, and so you're in town for it. There's a school board meeting happening at Sioux Valley, which by the time this airs will have already happened. But I was curious about that. How frequently does the school board hold remote meetings like that?
So twice a year, once each semester, the school board reaches out to farther areas in our borough. As you know, our borough is the size of West Virginia. Mm-hmm. And they really do want to hear from the community. And so this is part of that effort to go to the outlying areas in the borough. And for people that maybe can't travel as far, it'll make it more convenient for them to come and give their thoughts about how we're doing.
Okay. So, you know, we've just started the new school year pretty recently here. So as far as we're only a couple weeks in, but how are things looking so far, numbers-wise, enrollment, that sort of thing?
So enrollment is always a big thing for us this time of year. We have to make our projection the year before in November to the state. And so as of this weekend, we are over projection by about 35 kids. Our official count with the state occurs during the first 4 weeks in October. And here up here in this area, Sioux Valley is 2 students under projection, Talkeetna is 2 under projection, and Trapper Creek is 4 over projection. So it's actually exactly on between those 3 schools. And typically schools tend to grow throughout the first semester. So I think that's a great early indicator that the area is maintaining, is, you know, continuing to have a healthy enrollment for schools. And that usually is a good sign for the economy as well.
Okay. So somewhat related to that, I guess, there's the Borough Assembly recently changed the way that it's going to be funding schools going forward. And that was, I know you were involved in a lot of that conversation, and so there's going to be, you know, fixed mill rate now. What does that mean for the school district, and as far as your ability to plan that sort of thing?
So we are incredibly excited about this new legislation. It's 5 years of forward funding, fixed at 6.3 mills, like you said. And what that really means is the borough projects 2% per year, but over the last 5 years, that mill rate has increased by 3.5%. So if we were to do an optimistic budget revenue planning, then we could plan for anywhere between 2 and 3.5% growth for each year. And that helps us with how many teachers we can allot out in the school district. And so early funding like that is critical for us. And we're lucky this year we have a very good idea of what the state is going to be. So going into the winter session when we're doing our budget planning will help us be more accurate for schools.
Okay. So, yeah, I remember during the state legislature there was a lot of talk about, you know, giving that predictability to school districts as well. And do you see at this point a continued appetite in Juneau to continue doing that?
So the Juneau money is one-time money, so mm-hmm. It is not written in legislation in the BSA, the base student allocation. So right now, we cannot plan on that beyond this year. Mm-hmm. It is my hope that that the school districts and our communities can join together as we go into this new session in January and really encourage them to make that a part of the BSA so that we can have some predictability.
Okay. So I want to talk also about programs and initiatives and that sort of thing. You know, the school district has, from what I've seen, a very good reputation as far as being innovative with new programs, that sort of thing. In this area, the one-to-one program was piloted, and I'm curious, you know, now that that pilot's been going for a little while, what are the takeaways? Is it something that's going to be feasible to take throughout the rest of the district?
Yeah, so we started the Rural One-to-One Initiative really to bridge the gap out here, like in Sioux Valley. Teachers have to teach 4 or 5 different preps, and students often don't have access to the variety of courses that you might have in a very large high school, like additional foreign language or AP courses. And so with the Rural One-to-One Initiative, kids are able to take literally thousands of courses open up to them through online learning. And we're thrilled with the results and are just continuing what we're doing now as we're moving into the core areas, looking at our highest poverty areas And hopefully at some point, and when that will happen, it's every student in our school district will have their own learning device.
Okay. And so you mentioned, you know, higher poverty areas. Of course, schools up here are all Title I, and I'm curious, trend-wise within the district, if that's changing one way or the other, and how that impacts the way that you plan going forward.
I'm really glad you asked that question. So poverty is really an accelerator for kids on, let's say you have a learning disability and you add poverty on top of that, it just places them at even more risk for falling behind. And so our poverty rates were very concerned. At the beginning of the 2000s, we were around 30% in our district, and this year we're at 44%. All of our large elementary schools, except for two, are Title I schools now. And what that means is at least 40% of the families in that school qualify for free or reduced lunch. And many of our areas, Big Lake area, Houston, they qualify for everyone in the school based on the needs of the local community. So what we're really encouraging people, and we really are trying to increase, is our pre-K programs that are available and what parents and community can do at home to help kids get ready for kindergarten. Because what we're finding is our kids are coming in about in the 20th percentile in the nation.
Okay. So that's where I wanted to go next was, you know, results and how things are going. I was looking through before you got here some of the PEAKS test results, that sort of thing. But let's talk about first, I want to talk about graduation rates in the district, how those had been trending upward. Is that continuing?
Yeah. Our 7-year graduation rates, we started at 72%, and it will be official in October, but we're projecting 83%. So we're thrilled with that. And of course, Sioux Valley has years where they're 100%. Sioux Valley is a really high-performing school, and so we're very proud of them. And so we're very pleased with that. And what we also know is we have, for the last over a decade, participated in measures of adequate progress assessment for kids and parents. You'll know it by MAP. Mm-hmm. And that compares how our students are doing nationally in the nation. And so I always wanted as a parent to know if my child's in third grade and you line up 100 kids, where are they in that line? And so what we know in our district is our kids come in around the 20th percentile, and they're between the 70th and 80th percentile by the end of 10th grade. So not only are our graduation rates increasing, but we are moving the needle significantly on how they're performing compared to their peers across the lower 48.
Okay. So, you know, there's been a bit of turmoil in the last few years over statewide standardized testing. There were been a couple of different testing regimes that have come and gone. Now we've got PEAKS at this point, and like I said, those results are out now. I was looking through them earlier this afternoon, in fact, and statewide, the numbers, you know, looking at just the broadest picture, so all grades, English and language arts, 42.37% proficiency. Mathematics is just a little bit under 37%. Now, the MATSU is higher on both of those categories, but, you know, English language arts, all grades aggregate, just over 51%, and then mathematics, about 42.5% there. So still not great numbers, better than the statewide average, but what is, first of all, how is the adjustment going to this new testing regime? Because I know it's only a couple of years old. And then how are those results and numbers being interpreted within the district and then used to change curriculum or that sort of thing?
So about 5 years ago, we had an assessment called standard-based assessment, and our standards that were being assessed were ranked nationally at a D ranking. And what we knew is to pass that test, you had to be around the 35th percentile and on the MAP assessment. So you were in the 30, you were in the, you know, the lower third to be proficient across the nation. And as we adopted more rigorous standards, we have had two different assessments, the AMP assessment and now the PEAKS assessment. And we went from a D rating on our standards to an A rating on our standards. So they're significantly more rigorous. And now to pass, for example, in third grade, to be proficient on the PEAKS reading, you have to be in the 61st percentile or higher on the MAP assessment, and to be above proficient, which many kids used to be above proficient or now find themselves proficient, you have to be in the 92nd percentile. When you go all the way up to the 10th grade and you start looking at math results, it moves as high as the 85th percentile. So this assessment is much more rigorous, which is a good thing. We want to set higher standards for our students. We just need to understand that in the context of how they are compared to the lower 48. That being said, our state as a whole is really struggling in education. On the NAEP assessment, the reading and math for fourth and eighth grade, this last fall, the results came out and we were the lowest in the nation. And, you know, we're really struggling, especially in rural areas, with student engagement and student achievement.
Okay. And so as far as, like I said, I was flipping through each one, and it looked like in just about every category, the district was outperforming the statewide averages. And what factors do you think play into that? Is it a question of access? Because you say, you know, a lot of rural districts have access issues, or what do you think is the...
We should always be performing higher than rural Alaska. The teacher turnover rates in rural Alaska, crisis in the community that are occurring, there are so many challenges that don't provide for an optimal learning environment. Mm. So I expect that we do that. But we can do much better on those assessments, and we did improve from last year. We are really pushing, all the superintendents are advocating to the Commissioner of Education to look at a computerized assessment like MAP. Over 50 of the 54 districts participate in MAP because it's immediate, it's adaptive, kids have a lot of decades with it, parents understand the scores. And it's linked to practice items and Khan Academy items. So we're really hoping in the future that we can just move to one assessment, the MAP assessment.
Okay. Yeah, it can be a little bit tricky to try to gauge. It's like, okay, wait, what about this one? And then because there's also, what was this other one? The Alaska Science Assessments was another one.
Yes.
And obviously it looks like that's a little more single subject, a little more focused and not given in as many grades, but kind of same results there where the MATSU is a bit higher than statewide. So as far as...
I'm really impressed with your knowledge about public education.
Thanks. So going forward, there's always a bit of attention when it comes to things like these standardized assessments, that sort of thing. How much do you teach to the test? And in the MATSU, there are a lot of different programs that kind of go beyond that. Are there plans for adding new, you know, vocational programs, that kind of thing, the sort of stuff that the district already does?
Yeah. You know, we are really focused on our career and technical education classes, especially at the high school level. In our district, students that take at least two courses in a sequence, like two welding courses or two Our Educator Rising, a new teacher education prep, they have a 95% chance or higher of graduating, whereas our seniors as a whole is 83%. So these are high engagement classes that we think are incredibly beneficial. So we want a very strong foundation. We are a basics elementary program. We want kids to learn cursive. They have to memorize their multiplication facts. We want them reading fluency. And a lot of that comes with just rote learning. But then once we have them up to speed, we really want to open up the doors and let them go where they want when they're, especially in those secondary grades.
Okay. Well, I think that covers a lot of the topics I wanted to make sure we got to. So any other upcoming things that you wanted to mention?
We just stopped by Dalkeeton Elementary School and looked at the new ice rink, and we're really excited about that for the community and think that will provide some just really healthy recreational opportunities. And it's just always a pleasure to be up here. This area is just such a jewel, and people are so vested in the schools here. I wish that we could replicate what happens here everywhere across our district. The kids are really lucky, and we thank you for having us.
Yeah. Well, actually, that does bring up one more question is, you know, the Talkeetna Elementary School has an art program. And it has an art program because the PTA and, you know, they write grants and raise money and that sort of thing. Is there anything potentially on a broader scale that the district might be able to do going forward to get in some of these smaller schools to get those arts programs back?
So we are PTR. The number of teachers that is in a school based on enrollment is our number one priority. And so we are really trying hard to lower that, especially at the elementary level. And for a school like Talkeetna, where there's one teacher per grade level, an additional teacher could be in an elective area. And so we just encourage everyone to help us lobby with the state this year, because all the funds that we're getting, we want to be going directly back into the classroom to provide more opportunities for kids. And art and music and science technology courses are some of our students' favorites.
All right. Well, Superintendent Goyette, thank you for coming in.